I'm Dan Nicasa with the Honolulu Advertiser, and we're at the Ward Avenue Dixie Grill Barbecue and Crab Shack with Cindy Morales, the new general manager. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
So there's a lot of activity going on right now. Uh-huh. Your crew is getting ready for...
Opening.
Opening for lunch?
Yep. Opening for lunch.
And how many people do you have here at this...
At this moment, I have about 8 people on right now.
And how many people are kind of under your... Under you?
About 45.
45?
45, yeah.
Wow. And you used to be one of the Wokabees.
Yes, I used to be.
tell me about your career at Dixie Grill.
Well, I started at Dixie Grill about 4.5 years ago. I originally came and applied. My cousin worked here at the IAA restaurant as a server, and she told me, oh, come out and have a summer job, you know, mm-hmm. hosting, expoing. And I've never had a restaurant job in my life.
What were you doing at the time?
I was going to Washington State University for business law, actually.
Really?
Yes. And I was interested in international business. And I came home for the summer. I was really homesick. So I was like, oh, I got a job, you know, hang out. I loved it so much that I ended up staying here and finishing up school at Leeward Community College. And then I...
You loved being back home, or you loved working for
Dixie Grill? I loved being back home and loved working for Dixie Grill. It was just nice to be home. When I was in Washington State, it was just so cold and...
Right.
And snowy. And it was hard. It was hard. And it was way out in the middle of wheat fields, so I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was just stuck there.
No ocean
at all. So it was really nice. And then I moved up to server and bartender and became eventually a shift leader and supervisor, which, you know, I enjoyed that leadership because I've always kind of been, not a bossy person, but, you know, I really like to take charge kind of person and organize things. So
okay, we'll get into that. We'll get into your career mm-hmm. more and your motivations and philosophies and things like that. What happened to international business law?
Well, I was interested in it, but then when I took some classes, it was just too boring for me. And I'm an up-and-go, energetic kind of person.
Uh-huh.
And I could sit in an office, but I don't think I could do it for the rest of my life. So I didn't want to stick with that.
Okay. How old are you, Cindy?
I'm 23.
And where were you born?
I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Whereabouts?
Tripler Army Medical Center.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What was your family doing there?
My dad was in the Army. He was born and raised here. My mom is from Korea, and they were here. My dad was stationed in Germany, actually, and my mom came here to stay with his family, and we ended up giving up birth at Tripler Army Medical Center.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, for 5 years of my life. And then my dad passed away up there, and then we moved back here with his family.
And then you grew up where?
Here. In Makakilo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And where did you go to high school?
Commitment Schools.
What year did you grad?
2001.
And you, were you dancing hula there?
Yes, I was. I've been dancing hula since I was 6.
And the same halau?
Not the same halau. I danced for Halau Hula Umililani for the beginning years of my...
Okay.
And she passed away when I was in the 9th grade. And then I danced for Kamehameha Schools. And Kamehameha Schools eventually branched off to Kapa Hula Kalele Hua.
Say that last name again.
Kapa Hula Kalele Hua.
And that's part of?
They branched off. My Kumuhula's Kumuhula
right.
taught me when I was in high school.
Okay.
And then he unikied her and became her. She became a Kumu, and now I dance for her.
And what's Snowbird Bento's halau?
Kapa Hula Kalele Hua.
Oh, that's part of the same thing.
Kapa Hula Kamehameha is the halau that I danced for in high school, which is her Kumu.
Okay.
Yeah.
And college experience?
College experience, I went to Washington State mm-hmm. for a year, and then I came back home and went to Leeward Community College and finished my associate's degree.
Uh-huh. You were AA?
Yep.
And, what year was that?
Last year I finished my AA, which is 2005.
Okay. Yeah. And a breakthrough job that you've had, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Dixie Grill. Mm-hmm. It could be anything where you just sort of
developed your own kind of personal philosophies about dealing with workers or employees or customers, or you learned something about good leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's often interesting about a job where you learned about bad leadership,
mm-hmm.
and you said, I'm never going to be like that. It can be babysitting, it can be washing cars, but something that, you know, really made an influence on you.
I would say one thing that made a big influence on me was in high school, my senior year. No, actually, sorry, it was my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an economics class during the summer. And
economics cluster?
Economics class during
okay.
the summer.
Okay.
And we had to form our own business. We had to kind of make our own business
mm-hmm.
and sell different types of items. And so we had a little company.
Mm-hmm.
We made little stock certificates and everything for it. It was like a full-on business. We dealt with money. I was the vice president of the finances. We sold Mexican chicken bentos. We sold, what else did we sell? We sold, I think, donuts and just mm-hmm. and some sodas and stuff after school. And it was the best job I've had. It kind of made me want to go into the field of business,
mm-hmm.
whether it be law or management, because I took a great leadership role in being the vice president of finance and, you know, making sure I got all the money, making sure I rallied my team together
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, this is where we got to go and what we got to do. And I found that out as a junior in high school, and it was great. I absolutely fell in love with just business and finances and dealing with numbers and all that kind of stuff.
And how did you, well, that's been kind of a theme of your current experience,
mm-hmm.
right? Dealing with people of similar ages and mm-hmm. and experience levels. So what was that like, trying to tell a bunch of classmates?
In high school, it was a lot easier just because a lot of those people were my friends.
Right.
So it was, you know, it wasn't too hard to say, hey, what do you think you're doing? We got to jump back on track. Don't, you know, fool around and stuff. And it was a lot easier because I felt more comfortable talking with them mm-hmm. and being able to lead them because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, they still knew who I was. And
well, were you sort of a consensus builder, or were you an autocrat who sort of said, this is the right way? That's the highway.
You know, I wasn't like that. I try to, you know, negotiate and, you know, compromise things and say, you know, hey, if you want to have time to play and you still have to do business, do at least this much and then go do what you have to do.
But where did the plan come from? Was it based on consensus, or did you sort of come up with the plan?
Oh, no, it was a consensus. Yeah. It was a consensus. It was the group came together and decided that this is what items we would sell.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of did a whole vote on it. You know, everybody threw in their own ideas. And that was kind of what they wanted to build.
Did you make any money?
We did. We made a lot of money.
Really?
Which was really good.
How much did you make?
We made $1,500, I believe.
In a summer?
Yeah. It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. We sold all that food and stuff.
Where did it come from?
We purchased it. We had to purchase the food and then mark it up and sell it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were selling to kids at Commander?
All the students there.
Wow.
We'd go to the different campuses. We'd go to the elementary, the middle school, and then the high school. And sell
shaking
everybody.
Down elementary
yes.
kids for money. What'd you do with the money?
That
was $1,500 profit?
Yes.
Wow.
And we donated a portion to our leadership department at Commander Schools. And then we also were able to pay our employees, our people that were working for us. So the people in our company we paid.
Wow. Okay, a little known fact about you.
A little known fact. Most people don't believe that I was raised in Texas. You know,
they don't believe it.
They don't believe it because they, you know, I'm a really down-to-earth local girl. I like to go to the beach and dance hula. I speak Hawaiian, you know, all that kinds of things. And they don't believe that.
But that doesn't sound like but they know you were raised in Texas.
They don't. Like, when I tell them, they're like, no, you weren't. You were raised in, you know, in Waianae or something.
Oh. So what years were you in Texas?
From the time I was 1 to 5.
1 to 5?
Yeah. And when I came to Hawaii, I actually had a really harsh accent.
Really
harsh accent. We were flying on the plane, and you know, my mom was just, she'd always tell me stories about how bad my accent was. We'd come to Hawaii, we'd go to my auntie's house, and I'd be like, "Mom, can I sit on the couch?" You know, like, it was really a harsh twang accent. And
so is that a little fact that you used to have a harsh twang?
Yeah.
Did you purposely get rid of it, or?
I think, well, because for about a year or two we lived in Waianae, and I think hanging around with all my cousins, yeah, it slowly disappeared.
Yeah, or they beat it out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, looking for a mentor, and again, not necessarily work related. It could be, you know, an auntie or.
I would have to say my mom, just because
What's
her name? Sunhee Morales.
Can you spell that?
Sunhee.
Second word. Hee.
Yeah. Morales. And she is probably the strongest woman I know. She's taught me, you know, all my principles of how to live my life. And
which are what?
Which are, you know, you have no limits as to what you can do. Just, she has been my number one supporter for anything I did, mm-hmm, whether it be cheerleading or, you know, school, college, this job. She's been nothing but supportive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she's my confidant. I go to her and I tell her everything I need and what's going on in my life, what issues I have, and she's always there. And it's just amazing because she's gone through so much in her life that I can't believe that she's still that strong of a woman, you know.
Anything you can share? What kind of things does she come from?
Just, she came here from Korea when she was about 10 years old. So she didn't speak any English.
Hawaii.
Moved to Hawaii. It was really hard for her because she had a hard time learning English.
Mm-hmm.
She still has a little bit of a hard time, you know, speaking English. She can speak it, but it's really pidgin local English. And
why did her family come?
Because they wanted to come to America and better life. And they had some family over here. Yeah. And she moved here. Her dad then moved the family to Texas, which was a culture shock to her again. And then she met my father there. And, you know, my father was killed in Texas in an off-road fight. So
Off-road fight?
Yeah, like they got into a fight.
Like a road race?
Yeah.
Oh,
and so he got killed in Texas. And she was 25 and a widow with 2 kids.
And how old were you?
I was 5 when it happened to my brother, who's older than me, he's 7. So she came back to Hawaii.
Did he get shot?
He got stabbed.
Oh my goodness.
So, and she moved to Hawaii with nothing in her pocket. Just, you know, thinking that she wanted to bring her kids to Hawaii to, we couldn't know my father,
right,
at least know his family and get to know him that way, which I thought was great.
So your father,
mm-hmm,
what was his name?
Frederick Miles.
He was raised in Hawaii?
He is raised in Hawaii. Born and raised on the Waianae side.
And he went to Texas with the Army?
Yeah.
So he's really Hawaii?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
And when she came down here, she came with nothing in her pocket. Mm-hmm. Raised kids and
was
probably
her family still here, or
her family was in the mainland.
Oh.
And she lived with her in-laws,
right,
and eventually wanted to go on her own because she's so independent like that, and raised 2 kids on $800 a month for
doing what?
Just working at a restaurant and, you know, bartending and doing that kind of stuff. And living basically on that much for a really long time, and now she owns her own house, and you know, it's really actually she bought a house in Makaha.
Makaha.
Yeah, she has nice and peace and quiet, so she's way down in that corner. But she's just such an amazing, strong woman.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, major challenge, and this could be in your life, in your career.
My major challenge would be, I'm a person who likes to give 100% in everything I do.
Uh-huh.
And so trying to split my dedication out to motherhood and working, it's really hard, especially now that I'm a general manager and I'm in charge of everything. I find myself just like, how do I do it? Because I'm putting so much energy into this, and yet I'm still able to put so much energy into my son, that, and he's a 2-year-old, so he...
What's his name?
His name is Joshua.
Joshua?
Joshua.
How do you spell that?
J-O-S-H-U-A.
Joshua?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge would be how to devote 100% to work, 100% to your son.
100% to hula. Trying to split everything, because I'm such a perfectionist like that. I want to make sure that I can give everything I can to each and every one.
And what are the other, hula, work, son?
Hula, work, son, and family. You know, my mom, I always make sure I go out and see her and spend time with her.
Okay. Hobby?
Hobbies would be, I love to dance hula. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's taken me all around the world.
Why do you, what is it you love about it?
It's just so peaceful. When I dance, it's just peaceful, and,
You were in the Merry Monarch, yeah?
I was in the Merry Monarch, and it's also taken me all over the world. I went all over Europe. I went to American and Western Samoa, all over the United States. It's been wonderful, and it's kind of my outlet. Like, whenever I have stresses in my life, if I go to hula, it just all disappears.
Mm, okay.
It's really relaxing.
Books you've recently read?
I'm kind of a fan of Amy Tan. So The Joyette Club, I just finished. I'm starting to read The Bone Setter's Daughter.
Bone Setter's Daughter?
Yeah, The Bone Setter's Daughter.
Okay. Why Amy Tan?
She just has some very passionate writing about, you know, the relationships
women
between and with my mom. You know, it kind of helps me relate to my mom and kind of what things she went through.
Okay, so let's talk about your career at Dixie Grill.
Okay,
tell me, you said you started IA, and you told me about my cousin
worked here, and she's had a few restaurant jobs before, and she's like, oh, you should come out and work at our restaurant, you know, you make some tips. And I'm like, okay, I've never made tips in my life. I've never worked in a restaurant. So when I first went in there, you know...
As a hostess,
I was really kind of shy and quiet because... And normally I'm a really upbeat, energetic... You know, I was a cheerleader. I was really loud. And when I got there, I was just like out of my box, and it was really different. But then I worked there for a few months, and I was like, I absolutely love this. I get to talk to people. I get to have fun. It's like I'm not at a boring job. You know.
So you're a former cheerleader, hula dancer, expat Texan, Central Oahu raised, and you're serving a lot of military people, all Southern food.
Yes, yes.
How did that all work? Was that?
It was kind of different because, you know, I grew up with a lot of local people. Kind of stayed out of, you know, the military, you know, hanging around with people, like, you know, from the military, or I got along with everybody, but it was just, I was more comfortable with my local friends and hanging out with them. It was really different, but, you know, I just realized that everybody is the same. I mean, most people are just, that come to Dixie Grill and IA are just absolutely fun. You have all the sailors that are there from different places too, and they just want to find friends and family in Hawaii, and it was just a great opportunity to meet people. And
so then what, tell me about your work career there in IA.
Well, in IA, like I said, I hosted an expo, and that was for about 3 months. And then I served for about a year and a half, and bartended, did some bartending training then also, and then I got pregnant and worked up until like 5 days before I gave birth.
Wow.
And I was still working my doubles and doing all that stuff because I didn't want to stay at home, so I took a leave of absence for 8 weeks and came back and served some more. I only worked Monday through Friday, daytime, after I had my son. And then I was like, you know, I really want to do something more. And that's when I went back to school and finished my degree, and was like, this opportunity came up where they had open positions in management, and you know, Ruth and Patrick, who used to be the general manager here, said, why don't you try out for management? And I'm like, I don't know if I could do the hours.
What kind of positions are those, like shift managers?
Assistant managers. It's still dealing with the numbers and how the, you know, what finances the restaurant and all that stuff, and still dealing with the employees. And it was just like, well, I don't know if I can do all those hours. Going from working 4 hours a day to 9 hours a day, that's it's kind of hard. 6 days a week. It's really rough, but I was like, okay, you know what the heck, I'll try it.
And when was that?
That was in November of last year. And
what was your job then?
Then I was just a server and
In your management.
In management? I was doing assistant management.
At IA?
Yeah.
Okay. And so tell me about then, you're sort of a part-time day worker and now you're one of the junior bosses.
I know.
What was that transition like?
It was
in terms of dealing with your former peers.
It was not so bad at IA. Because at IAEA, for some reason, I feel a lot more comfortable being able to tell my friends what to do as opposed to telling people I don't know. Yeah, telling people that I don't know what to do. And because I already got the respect from them being a shift leader. So it was kind of nice moving into management and being able to just, hey, this is what you got to do, do it. Because I'm not afraid to write you up even though you're my friend, you know, kind of thing. Coming over here, it was a little harder because no one here really knew me.
You came in as a general manager?
As a general manager here. Nobody knew me. Nobody, they had been through so many general managers here that they kind of just, the employees ran the restaurant a little bit and they didn't think I would last very long. So I think they kind of just, whatever I said, kind of just ignored me and brushed it off their shoulder. And I'm like, that's when I had to grow my stern foot and just say, like, no, hey, I ain't going anywhere for a while. So,
like, what kind of things?
Just cleaning duties.
Oh.
Keeping clean, clocking in on time.
Yeah.
Not like
basic discipline.
Not clocking in and then going upstairs and changing and then coming back down. I had to crack down on a lot of that kind of stuff. And
well, how do you do that in this economy where there's, you know, people are moving around so fast, everybody needs experienced workers, let alone, you know, good workers is
exactly.
Too much a dream for, excuse me.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody with some restaurant experience can go anywhere.
It's hard.
How do you do that? How do you push without pushing them out the door?
Because I'm not so, I think I have a pretty good communication skill with these employees. I explain to them, hey, I understand where you're coming from. I've been there. Don't forget that I'm, about the same age as you guys.
Right.
You know, so I know where you're coming from. I know you want to go out and party, but that's no excuse. This is a job. It's a good job. You make good money. The insurance is good. You want to keep your job. All you have to do is come in 5 minutes earlier. That's all you have to do. Not, you have to take it seriously. And I find that I gain a lot of respect from these people, which is really great. There's been one or two people that have left because, they just want to go out and surf all day, so they do that. But overall,
what about positive reinforcement? I mean, do you do anything?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've started, Jim and Ed have Jim Hamachek is the director of operations here.
Okay.
Ed Wary is the owner of the two companies.
How do you spell Jim's name?
Jim Hamachek is Hamachek.
And he's the operations manager?
He is the director of operations here.
Okay.
And they wanted to institute this philosophy of above and beyond, which is a program, I guess, is going worldwide, or not worldwide, nationwide. And we brought it here, so above and beyond is just going above and beyond what people expect of you.
Mm-hmm.
So we enforce aggressive hospitality here. So
aggressive
hospitality, like getting someone some shoyu for their rice before they have to ask you.
I see.
Filling up drinks like that. And above and beyond is doing something as simple as, if it's raining, walking an old lady to her car with an umbrella, or
right.
Just doing little
extra
things.
Customers.
Yeah, extra.
But what's the motivation for an employee who...
I am making little coupon books for them, and we do kind of an employee of the month, but it's called an above and beyonder of the month. And the management staff gets together and they choose who they think has gone above and beyond the most this month, whether it be front of house or back of house. And we give them a coupon book, which is like has a bunch of coupons saying, you can get out of your side work today. You can get a free, side work, daily duties, cleaning duties that they have to do through the day.
Uh-huh.
Make your manager do it, or here's a Palhana drink, have a drink after work.
Uh-huh.
Or, just you're allowed to come in and do your job, and your manager will, what am I doing? Your manager will help you do all your closing outside work, which, you know, you have to, you know, will be your busser, clean your tables, things like that, to kind of give back to them and give them incentive to want to do better. Because if you see your manager out there having to clean all your tables, you'd be like, hey, this is cool, I'm going to be good, you know?
Right.
So.
Okay. And then, but some of the employees are considerably older than you.
Yes.
How's that?
It was a little difficult. I had some more difficulty, I think, in IAEA with some people, well, a couple of, you know, older ladies trying to manage them, and, you know, they're like, I don't think so, you don't know what you're doing. I had to kind of prove to them that I knew what I was doing. And then eventually got my respect.
How do you prove to people that you know?
You know, I just told them the world's changed. Here's different ideas. This is why I'm in management. I'm, you know, I know how to deal with a computer. I know how to do or look at all these financial statements and know how I can better my restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I can lead my other peers. Can you not, you know, they've noticed that I can tell someone what to do and tell them in an effective way that, and they'll do it.
And what are your duties as general manager?
General manager, I basically oversee all the things that go on in the restaurant, whether, you know, with customer service, which is our biggest, you know, point that we try to emphasize. Customer service is really important. I make sure that we handle product control and labor control, of course.
I mean, do you do the buying? And
we do the buying, we do the ordering. I have kitchen managers that help me out with that, that I do oversee to make sure that they're ordering enough or not over ordering. I do the liquor ordering, I do inventory, I work with doing...
do you handle all the personnel?
I do. I do all the hiring, I do the orientations.
And what is that like to hire in this market, job market?
It's really difficult just because, you know, everybody who has a job or who needs a job has a job right now. Or who can get a job has a job.
So if you've got a job and you're looking here, you're looking for something better, right?
Exactly. And so it's really hard because right now people are coming in and asking for outrageous amounts of money.
Signing bonuses.
And oh, yeah, lots of things. And it's really difficult to find people. I mean, when I first started in this business, we would get applications like no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And 4 years later, we have maybe two or three trickling in.
Right. What are some of the outrageous things people are asking for?
You know, they ask for, as a cook coming in with very little experience, you know, maybe a year or so, for like $16 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, this is what hours I want to work.
Right.
This is what I want my schedule to be. And we don't really provide set schedules here. We, you know, we work around what you have to do, but we won't say this is what your set schedule is. And it's really hard because it's like, well, we can't pay you that much, and we won't let you only work a four-hour shift, you know, so you can go out and party. But I found that it's really hard, but with the people that we do have, we want to keep them, especially in the kitchen. Yeah. Because they have opportunities to go other places that pay a lot more. You know, top-notch restaurants. And had a few people leave us for top-notch restaurants.
Right. Do you have openings? You said you have 45 people or so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have openings, vacancies?
We have a few. We could use some help in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Front of the house, we're not so bad. We are pretty staffed in the front of the house.
So was it hard for you, or because you're obviously motivated and, you know, want to do well, and guess what, Cindy, most of the world isn't like that.
I know.
Have you gotten your brain wrapped around that concept yet?
You know, I did.
Because you want to have a bunch of workers just like you, but
exactly.
It turns out
and
they're
you know
not
what?
Like that.
That was my biggest. That was one of my biggest problems because I came in here and I'm like, okay, if somebody tells me to do something once, they only have to tell me to do it once, and then I'll do it and I'll do it right. But it's
like
hard.
Keeping yourself the whole time for not anticipating what the boss wants.
Exactly. You know, not trying to be a butt kisser. You know, not in those terms.
Well.
But exactly. You know, doing stuff before you're asked to, but a lot of people aren't like that.
Yeah, when did you discover that? Was that in IA or when you came here?
And I thought it a little bit. When I came here, it was a lot more. So yeah. Because, you know, people just came in here and did what they needed to do to get them by and then left. And I'm like, no, why, you know, if you're walking by a piece of paper, pick it up,
yeah.
You know, or something. I tell them, I'm going to put a $20 bill under one of those napkins one day, and whoever tries to pick it up is going to be so ecstatic, and so everyone's going to try and pick up a piece of paper off the ground now.
And so how do you motivate people who want to just come in here and it's a job and they really want to serve or they really want to have these days off? And
I got to make it.
Again, in this economy, how do you motivate people?
I got to make it fun for them. I mean, it's hard, you know, I let them come in and have, you know, fun with their peers, you know, joke around with their right. fellow employees. But I also try to coach them on good customer service, which enhances their tips. So, that really helps.
Well, and it's a little, I would imagine, it's a little tougher here to balance that because Dixie Grill is kind of a fun place where
uh-huh.
people are screaming, you know, hot food coming
yep.
out and screaming my tire, whatever, you know, I mean, I've been here a lot.
Yeah.
Both places.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of
loose fun. Mm-hmm. Is that difficult? Because it's not a tuxedo high-end.
I don't think it's difficult, and, you know, I really don't have anything to base it on because I've never worked in a high-end restaurant, but just looking at it, I think...
Well, I mean, is it difficult to balance, let's have fun, let's have a good customer service experience, but it's a business and...
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit, but, you know, that's why I'm here, because I'm always there saying, hey, you're going over the line, stop it, you know? And my management staff here is really helpful, too. I'm really...
Well, what is that line? What is that line between having fun and being loose with the customers and still...
The line is, you know, having fun and talking about, you know, things that are going on in the present at Dixie Grill and not saying, oh, last night I had this and that, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that crossing the line, and I'm like, if you're going to talk about that, go outside,
yeah.
you know. Or
gotcha.
But overall, they know where the line is between, you know, having fun around their customers and... not like outside of
right.
where their customers can hear them. It's just, you know, it's hard for them to realize that if they're standing right by that beverage station and they're talking probably about like this,
yeah.
that people on these tables here can still hear them.
Right.
So
now let's talk about competition. Not just, we've talked a little bit indirectly about
mm-hmm.
competition for workers, but just restaurant business. I mean, Oahe Street and the Ward
yeah.
complexes are full of.
There's a lot of restaurants here, and it's taking a toll. I mean, they are not as busy as what they used to be when they first opened up here, Dixie Row, I'm saying, because of all these restaurants that have recently
right.
opened. But we're optimistic because there's, you know, there's a lot of condos going up, a lot more people coming out to town. It's doing okay. We're making it through, and we're very optimistic that in the next year or two, it's going to jump up our business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I mean, do you feel like you're in competition, or do you feel
we kind of do just because you know, we kind of do just for customers because they have a lot of options there,
right.
but not so much because we're very unique. You know, there's not many places on this island like Dixie Grill.
Right.
You can
right.
kind of get certain similar food from like Chili's or whatever,
right.
but not nearly as.
Right.
You know, homemade, fresh, and that's the kind of concept we stick to, and that's what brings people here.
Right.
So.
And who does the signs? Do you have some say in that?
Oh, our marquee?
Yeah.
Or yeah, we, well, the manager on duty during the day, which is mostly me, will make the sayings and have someone go up and change them. We should change them every day.
What's your best one?
What's my best one? If you're not a top dog, get off the porch. We have that one up last week. That one's really funny. But yeah,
where do you come
good.
Up with them?
We have a book of sayings that, you know, our big bosses found and they find appropriate. So we just kind of dig through those and pick. Just random thoughts if you're driving and you see something that says, like, why does rain drop and snow fall? You know, things like that, that'll make you think and be like, hey, I don't know, maybe I'll go in there and eat.
Well, did you have any clunkers that you thought up and somebody went?
No, I'm not that creative, not yet.
Okay, anything else you'd like to talk about, Cindy?
No, I think we covered just about everything.
Okay.
Come to Dixie Grill and eat. It's got great food.
You have
and great
food.
Service.
All right, thanks, Cindy.
Okay, thank
Good luck
you.
With everything.
Thank you.